Well, Father, I truly do thank you for this group of people who came out tonight. I thank you for your teaching tonight, Father, about the angelic host that you have already in this room tonight. And I'm asking you right now, Father God, to open up spiritual eyes tonight so they can see the angelic host. Open up spiritual eyes so we can see as you see, Father God. We're tired of looking out of natural eyes and only seeing what the world wants us to see. We want to go one step further tonight. We want to go into the realm of the supernatural sight, where we can see what you see, and we can understand that things are going on around about us. And Father, we just know that we know that we know that you've heard this prayer, and you're going to open up our spiritual ears tonight, along with our spiritual ears. And Father God, we're going to see as you see, and we're going to hear what you would have us to hear and not what the world wants us to hear. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there's really something brewing in the heavenly realm, and it's an exciting brewing. And if you would really just keep your ears in tune to God and your mind in tune to God, you wouldn't be able to stand your own self because you'd be so excited about what God's, you know, showing you and telling you, and because he's constantly speaking anymore. He's just constantly speaking. But are you constantly hearing, or are you just hearing every now and then? I think the problem is we hear every now and then. I don't care how busy you are. You can be in a doctor's office. You can, you know, be walking down the street. You can be driving your car. People can be honking their horns, but you can still hear God's voice if your ears are in tune to his voice. But it's his word say, those who have ears to hear. We all have ears, but we don't have ears to hear the still small voice of God. And it's about time we start hearing God's voice. With all, you know, just shut out. You don't even have to shut out the noise. You just say, God, my ears are in tune to your voice, and I will hear your voice no matter what's going on. I'm going to hear your voice. And somebody else can even be talking to you. All right, so the other day I was up here teaching, and while I was teaching, God was dictating a letter to me to send to somebody. And Teresa said, you can do that? I said, yeah, I'm sitting up here teaching you, and God just starts speaking because it's God's teaching. You know, he can do whatever he wants to do. Did I stop teaching? Absolutely not. Kept right on teaching and just kept on listening. The trouble is we don't listen. All right. Tonight I'm going to teach you about angelic activity. This is a word that God gave me. The first part of it is, eye has not seen nor ear heard what I'm going to do all across this land. And he was giving me a word this morning, and he says, I've repeated this phrase over and over again, eye has not seen nor ear heard. And he said, I'm going to continue to say that. And if you notice, he's been saying that a lot lately. God said, my glory will spread like wildfire and burn the darkness out of the people. And all that will remain is my light of purification. That's exciting. Yes. My glory will spread like wildfire and burn the darkness out of the people. And all that will remain is my light of purification. I've spoken about this time, and now it is here. It has always been and always will be line upon line and precept upon precept. Nothing will escape the fire of my glory. Let's just stop there. God's told me that the glory was going to fall. I'll say drop. But he said, it's, and I say, when is it going to drop? And he said, in the fall. So every fall, I think that's the fall it's going to drop. But every fall, it hasn't dropped. God hasn't said that to me again because he spoke it once. And I should believe him. I feel with every fiber of my being that this fall, the glory's going to drop. And I really feel that we're going to see signs, wonders, and miracles like we've never seen before. And I think the great harvest is going to start coming in. But I believe, and I've got the Holy Spirit all over me, I have the Holy Spirit all over me, it's going to be this fall that God's going to do this great move. If you watch how he's lining everything up, everything is lining up for it to happen this fall. Everything. And you really need to be watching the weather. You need to be watching the signs of the times around about you, and we will understand what God is doing. Now, I know that we have been for 40 years preparing the second coming, the way for the second coming of Jesus. He could come. We're in a new era, another 40-year era. Jesus could come back anytime he so desires to come back, the time that God has appointed for him. But until he does that, we have to be about the Father's business. And we aren't going to, the business is going around trying to guess when he's coming back. And the business is doing his business until he comes, because it says nobody knows when he's coming. And we need to keep ourselves right with God. All right, God said, I am not only cleaning the swamp in the White House, but I'm also cleaning the swamps in my churches. I've already sent forth my angelic army. They are spread all across the land. They are at every junction to destroy the works of darkness. Those who have ears to hear must continue to hear my still small voice of instruction. I will continue to speak volumes into the ears that hear. You will begin to spiritually hear the trumpet sounding all over this land. And he said this, and so, you know, I had to read it over and over again after I wrote it. But he said, you will begin to spiritually hear the trumpet sounding all over this land. Every time an enemy is brought low, the victory trumpet will be sounded. Now, I tried to search it out, couldn't find anything on that. But also read where there's great angelic signs being seen everywhere, and people are saying they're hearing the trumpet just out of the blue. They'll hear the trumpet sound. And so could that be every time the enemy is brought low? Is the enemy being brought low in different areas, in different people's lives, in cities and towns, and they're hearing the trumpet being blown? All right? He said, and then God said, the mountains of adversity are beginning to fall, never to be resurrected again. So whatever's going on in your life, God's getting ready to blow those mountains to pieces, and you're going to be totally free. It isn't going to happen to you again. You've been through the wilderness long enough for 40 years, and now we've crossed the Red Sea, and now we're walking in victory. And now what we will do is lead the others across the Red Sea. We will go and encourage them, give them hope, and tell them, look what God did, just like that song, look what God did. You know, you'll say, look what, this is where I was at, and look where I'm at today. God can do the same for you, and you'll pull those people out of the darkness into the light. That's where we're at, church. We are now doing the Father's bidding. We are no longer going to say, oh, poor me. No, poor me is over with. God's tearing down those barriers, and you will be walking totally free. I know it's been a long, hard journey. I know that. But that part of your journey is over. We're the Israelite children all over again. You know, and the 40-year wandering is over. And God told us we've crossed the Red Sea and the Jordan, and now we're in the Promised Land. And the promise is that he's going to drop his glory upon his church, the ones that survived, and he's going to use them for great signs, wonders, and miracles. Now, you either believe that or you don't. If you don't believe it, then what are you doing? What's keeping you going day by day if you can't believe that? Because God always gives us a hope. You know, he gives us something to hang on to. And he's given us all that. Now we're just ready to work. He told us we were going to be so busy, we wouldn't know which end was up, and we'd spend most of our time in the house of God. And he told us to get our lives in order. Isn't that what he said? So have we been doing that? Have we been getting everything in order? You know, because we won't have time to do anything but work in God's house. He even said it. People would be quitting their jobs and work in God's house and get paid to work in God's house. All right? All right. All right, so angels are beings who have greater power and ability than humans. And you can find it in 2 Peter 2:11. They exist in heaven or the spirit realm, which is a level of existence higher than the physical universe. That's in 1 Kings 8:27 and John 6:38. Thus, they are also referred to as spirits in 1 Kings 22:21 in Psalm 18:10. Angels have distinct personalities. They can communicate with one another, 1 Corinthians 13:1. I'm going to stop there. Yeah, I used to always pick up hitchhikers, and the reason why I did was because one time my brother was hitchhiking along the road. It was the middle of the winter, really super cold. And my husband and I went past this kid walking. He was running, really. And I said, please stop. I think that's my brother. He said, no, I don't pick up hitchhikers. Well, we went to my father's house, and a half hour later, my brother walked in, about half froze. We had passed him up. So I had to determine my heart that night that I would never pass up another hitchhiker. So I always picked up hitchhikers. Left church here one night and went right up around the corner here, and this guy was hitchhiking, so I stopped, picked him up. And I drove up the road a little bit, and he said, Barbara, don't you ever pick up another hitchhiker as long as you live. He didn't know my name. I didn't introduce myself. And he said, now pull the car over and let me out, but don't ever pick up another hitchhiker. I know that was an angel of God warning me that if I kept doing that, something was going to happen to me. All right? I know angels are real, but I've had many encounters with them. All right, they have, that's why I said they have distinct personalities. What I'm getting at, he was just a man, like you and I, dressed like you and I are dressed, talked like you and I dressed. He wasn't no great big 9-foot giant, you know. All right, they have thinking ability and are able to compose expressions of praise to God, and that's in Luke 2, 13 and 14. They have thinking ability, and sometimes people don't have thinking ability, right? All right, and they have the freedom to choose between right and wrong, as seen when some of them sinned by joining Satan and the devil in his rebellion against God. It's Matthew 25:41 and 2 Peter 2:4. Now, that's the different things they can do. How many in here, raise your hand, how many in here know that you've had angelic encounters in your lifetime? Look at this. Look at this. I've had an angel pull me out of the waters I had drowned in 3 different times and bring me back to life. I mean, you know, I've had all kind of encounters with angels, just like all you did. This is exciting. Ari says, so you've had angelic visitation. Are you still expecting that? Yes. All right, because the angels are everywhere right now. God told me I have them everywhere, all over the earth, ready to do my bidding. Are you ready for that angel to show up and help you tell them? Well, just like it used to do to the prophet, to the evangelists. They'd go to the rooms. Remember the stories of the evangelists? They'd go in the rooms and wake them up. They'd be sitting in the rocking chairs and stuff. God sent me to give you this message. And then they would give him a message. I mean, this happened all the time way back. It's 50s and 60s. So God is going to do the very same thing today. I hope some of you aren't doing your sin nature and an angel shows up. A little bit embarrassing, wouldn't it be? Now, but they're going to show up and they're going to give you messages from God. Now, are you ready for this? Remember, who was it? They were in their bedroom sleeping and the wind blew and the curtains flew out and the devil showed up, but he pushed the guy's bed across the room. And so whenever he told the devil to get out of there, and he said, oh, by the way, come back, put my bed back where it was when you walked in the room. And they pushed the bed back. You know, but he had an encounter with the devil. Now, that didn't upset him. It didn't surprise him because he knows Satan, he knows angels. Now, what would happen if the wind, all of a sudden you were sleeping, the window came up, the wind blew in, the curtains blew out, your bed went sliding across the room, you'd probably scream your head off. Call 911. So God's trying to get us ready for these kind of visitations. Well, not that kind, but to get visitations from the angels and not be all upset about it. All right? All right, there are different ranks among angels. The angel greatest in both power and authority is Michael the archangel. You'll find that in Jude 9 and Revelation 12:7. Seraphims are high-ranking angels who are stationed near Jehovah's throne. You find that in Isaiah 6, 2 and 6, verses 2 and 6. Cherubs form another high-ranking order of angels, having special duties. For example, cherubs guarded the entrance to the Garden of Eden after Adam and Eve were expelled. You find that in Genesis 3, 23 and 24. Now, Gabriel was the messenger of God. The angel answered, I am Gabriel. This is, I'm reading out of Luke 1:19. The angel answered, I am Gabriel who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. And then, okay, then interestingly, this shows that Gabriel holds a position of high power. He stands in the presence of God. This is another clue that Gabriel is one of the chief princes or archangels. They usually always group Michael and Gabriel together. The Bible shows that Gabriel's primary responsibility is to serve as a spiritual messenger. He seems to be specifically tasked with delivering messages from God to human beings. Now, I'm going to tell this, even though I think some people think I've just lost my mind. But I was first born again. I was in my prayer closet, and all of a sudden I had a vision, and this person was standing on this mountain, and they had on Roman garb, you know, the short little skirts the soldiers used to wear, and I had a sword and a shield. And I said, God, what is that? He said, that's Michael, and he is your protector. Now, once I read about Michael, and once I read about Michael, I felt very special to God that he would say Michael was my protective angel. I've never forgot that scene, and I never will. I don't know what your angel's name is, but you do have an angel guarding over you. You know, God told me one time that when a baby is born, There's an angel of Satan standing on one side, an angel of God standing on the other side, and it depends on who grabs hold of the ankle first to get who that child belongs to. I've always remembered that, because every time anybody is pregnant, I always pray really hard that the angel of God will be the one to grab hold of that person's ankle. I don't care who it is. It just doesn't have to be a relative. We need to be praying for everybody, all right? All right, 11 Bible verses about angels helping us. In Psalm 34:7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. See that? The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. Hebrews 1:14, are they, you know, the angels, not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? And Genesis 19:15-17, when morning dawned, the angels urged Lot. Who urged him? Angels. It wasn't God, but he sent angels. And you're like, God is sitting there, I never slumbered nor sleep, and he's constantly watching over us. Who is watching over us? The angels, and they report back to God what is going on in our life. All right? So when morning dawned, the angels urged Lot, saying, up, take your life and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away in the punishment of the city. But Lot hesitated, so the men seized Lot's hand and the hand of his wife and the hands of his two daughters, for the compassion of the Lord was upon him, and they brought him out and put him outside the city. When they had brought them outside, one said, escape for your life. Do not look behind you, and do not stay anywhere in the valley. Escape to the mountains, or you will be swept away. God sent an angel to Lot to warn him that he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, Lot was sort of hesitant and didn't really want to leave, but he knew that was an angel of the Lord. What did they do with those angels? They tried to rape them. The men in that city wanted Lot to give them the angels so they could use them. But what did Lot say? He said, "Here, take one of my daughters." They could not touch these angels. But those angels could. Well, what did the angels finally do to the people? Struck them blind. They struck them all blind, and they couldn't do anything to Lot and his wife. But we know the story about Lot's wife. She liked to sin, and it really bothered her that she had to leave sin behind. And what did the angel say? Do not look behind you. And she turned around and looked, and what happened to her? She turned into a pillar of salt. But God wanted her to be freed, and he sent the angel. Why did God send the angels to warn Lot? Because he's Abraham's brother, right? And Abraham was special to God. So he was saving his brother. Hebrews 13:2, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. I think this goes right along with, you know, whenever they ask, how did we help you, and you know, Jesus, and he said, when you fed somebody was hungry, you know, you gave clothes to somebody, and you never know if that person that needs your help could really be an angel, and you're just being tested by God to see if you'll help people. Do you know how many people won't help anybody in any way, shape, or form? For all you know, that's an angel that God has sent. I want you to go down there and test them to see if they will help me or help you. Think about that. I know some people could have helped people, and I'm not going to help them. They don't help themselves. I'm not going to help them. How do you know that that's not an angel from God? You know, when the street people are standing on the corners, I give them money. And my one daughter thinks that's terrible. They can go to work same as you and I do. I do it because I feel sorry for them to begin with. But that could be an angel standing there. And I could have a $20 bill in my purse, but not feed that person who needs that money. These are just things you need to think about. All right, Matthew 1:20. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. An angel of the Lord went and told Joseph about why Mary was pregnant. And who was this angel? Gabriel, the messenger, right? Revelation 22:1. Then he showed me a river of the water of life. All right, who is he? It's an angel. Then he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. John speaking there, and said the angel showed him. Matthew 4:11. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to minister to him. Who's the him? Jesus in his testing in the wilderness, his 40-day testing. It said, then the devil left Jesus, and behold, angels came and began to minister to him. Jesus can call on angels anytime he wants, but I really feel like this was a supernatural thing. God already had them set up waiting for the 40-day, you know, temptation to be over. Then the angels were already assigned to go immediately and help him. And so, you know, with each one of you sitting in here tonight, you know, God might call you on a 40-day fast, let's say. And so God has said, I believe with all my heart that God sends an angel to you to keep your body nourished and keep you healthy until your 40-day fast is over. I really believe that because God used to have me go on one 40-day fast, quit one day, and go on another one, not eat anything. And every now and then just drink water. People say, well, you can drink hot chocolate. No, God told me not to do that. And, well, you'll die. I didn't die. Food's killing me, but I didn't die not eating. All right? All right, 1 Kings 19:7, the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, arise, eat, because the journey is too great for you. Who came to, this was it Isaiah? I can't remember who that was. But the angel came again a second time and touched him and said, arise, eat, because the journey is too great for you. The angel of the Lord came. You see, we sort of overlook that phrase, the angel of the Lord. In Exodus 14:19, the angel of God, who had been going before the camp of Israel, moved and went behind them, and a pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood between them. So there was an angel in front of them and an angel behind them. It was always an angel of God that was keeping these people safe. Daniel 3:25, he said, look, I see four men loosed and walking about in the midst of the fire without harm, and the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods. So Shadrach and Meshach were there, but then there was a fourth man there. It was an angel of God doing what? Keeping them safe. Do you understand you're never, ever alone? You're really never, ever alone. You're never really in danger unless you doubt that there is a God who can keep you. Isaiah 37:36, and the angel of the Lord went out and struck 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. And when men arose early in the morning, behold, all these were dead. One angel, it says, didn't say angels, killed 185,000 soldiers. I believe with all my heart, if America would just get herself right, and when our men go out to war, and we really prayed for our soldiers, they wouldn't die the way they do. That's how I feel. I feel like a lot of us don't protect our soldiers the way we ought, even our policemen. I don't think we pray a covering over them. Even our children, we just say, oh, well, they're just no good. No, you need to be praying a covering over them. I do that with my kids all the time. Even when I know they're out sinning, I'll say, God, send an angel. Keep them covered so they won't be caught. You know, I don't want my kids to be, you know, caught with drugs on them. I don't want them to go to prison to be destroyed. So I keep them covered. I send an angel, because it says they're there for us to tell them what to do. I send angels to them to help protect them. And my kids have said, I know I should have been killed, but I know God was with us. They know that. They can feel his presence, you know, the presence of the angels of God. We're too busy to judge and throw everybody under the bus, when really we should be covering them. And we should be saying, thank God that's not me doing that. Amen. All right, angelic activity is increasing in this season. All right, let me ask you this before we go into this. How many of you have been driving down the highway and you know a car is coming at you and going to hit you, but it passes right through you? I've had that happen 3 times in my lifetime. And right after I was born again, it happened. I pulled up the stop sign. I looked both ways, but then I didn't look back that way again. And I was out in the middle of the highway, and this car came right through my car. And I thought, wow. And I went to work so excited. They all knew I just lost the last bit of sense I ever had. I was telling everybody what just happened. I didn't even know what just happened. You know, I didn't know that is an occurrence. It does happen. But, you know, and he's done that to me 3 times. Are you protected or are you not? You know? I don't know. I drowned 3 times, literally drowned. They had to pull me up out of the river and bring me back to life. And every time it was some man appeared on the scene that nobody ever saw before and, you know, did what they had to do. He had to do and got me back. Then he disappeared. Satan has tried to kill me so many times, and he just can't get it done. You know, because Satan can do anything he wants to with you, but God told me he can't kill you. So why are we all letting Satan kill us? I'm not, you know, I'm just, you know, in general. Why aren't you praying and why aren't you believing? I always tell the devil, you might be able to put me through the loops, but you can't kill me. You can make me sick, but you can't kill me. I hold that up to him, boy. He's not going to kill me. So you have to really have it down in your spirit that God is in control. God is protecting you at every turn. And then just let the devil know that you know that he has no authority over you, really. Because God did tell me he can do anything to you, daughter, that he wants, but he can't kill you. And you all know the story. One time I stood in front of the devil because he appeared to me too. And I said, I laughed at him when he told me he was going to do to me. I said, you can't do that. I'm a child of God. Well, guess what? He did. He couldn't kill me, but he did everything that he said he was going to do. And God told me that, but he forewarned me. He said he's going to turn you every way, which way but loose. But when it's all finished, you'll be standing on your feet, facing me and praising me. See, this is the way you have to live, guys. You have to live like you believe. Not like you believe, but you really do believe, and that's the way you live. You just live a life that you believe, and you have faith. And you don't let fear come along and destroy things. All right, angelic activity is increasing in this season. There's an enormous angelic activity being seen in this season. People are writing about and showing pictures of angelic sightings. I don't know if you've gotten any of these, but they actually took pictures of the angels. One person wrote, I read this, over the weekend, she said, in this week, I keep seeing angels holding torches of fire. The angels are standing waiting beside the people of God. And as they worship and press in, as they do what? Worship and press in, these angelic hosts lean forward with their torches, and they place these torches on the hearts, mind, eyes, mouth, feet, hands, and ears of the people of God as you're worshiping. You know, I don't care if you don't have a tune, worship anyhow. You know, I sit and think, I listen to the tambourines, I said, oh, Lord. He said, shh, at least they're shaking them. He does tell me, he just told me that tonight. at least they're worshiping and praising me. All right, so you, instead of just coming in here and just singing, just as you're worshiping God, you know, you give him everything you have, expect to be touched by the angels that are in here. People see angels in here all the time. I've seen them too. But people always say, I saw an angel at church tonight. Did he tell me where he was posting, what he was doing? So why not it be touching you, changing you? There's a significant and sudden increase of his fire over the people of God, bringing sudden alignment in the spiritual sense of God's people. Now, how often has he brought the fire into the Lighthouse Church? So every time he does that, he's doing something different to you. You might not feel it, but something in you is being changed. As these angelic hosts bend down while you worship and press in, they are igniting your hearts. They are burning away lies. They are igniting truth and setting fire to the seeds of the word you are sowing into your heart, releasing exploding revelation. What has God said? These are things that God has showed this person. What has God said? He has said that he's going to give us revelation that nobody's heard about. So if you can't believe that, you're not going to receive it. But if you can believe that, even when you're in here doing praise and worship, the angels are touching you to give you that deep, hidden revelation that God's trying to get out to the people. All right, that's angels also touching your minds. They are igniting deeper revelation of the truth that we have the mind of Christ and releasing divine heavenly wisdom and strategy. Too many people don't know they have the mind of Christ. They have the mind of I don't know what, but they sure don't have the mind of Christ. And as these angels are in here moving around and touching you as you're worshiping, they're renewing your mind and giving you the mind of Christ. And you should be starting to see yourself thinking differently. All right, racing thoughts and tormenting thoughts are broken as God's people align their minds with the word. See, if you really will trust and believe that the angels are here touching you, all the dumb junk that's going through your mind will disappear. And you can't tell me the angels aren't here while we're doing praise and worship, because they are. And you can't tell me God isn't doing anything to you, because he's talking to you if you're really listening as you're singing. Come on. Eyes. The angels are touching your eyes. Sight-defying natural atmospheres. Sight to see into the unseen. God has been speaking to us and telling us he wants his children to see as he sees. We are not to look at people in the natural, but in the spiritual. And I prayed to that tonight. Sister Astrid isn't here tonight, but God always lets her see into the spirit realm. It's awesome what he shows her. And so if he could do that to one, he wants to do that to everybody. We're too busy being mad at our husbands or yanking our kids around and shut up. You know, and we don't have our mind on Christ. You know, or you're thinking about something that happened to you during the day. Forget all that junk when you walk through the door. It'll be waiting for you to get out. Just receive what God has for you while you're in the house of God worshiping him. Example, Father, this is my example. Father, when I look at it, Christopher, don't allow me to look through natural eyes, because I can see a whole lot of junk. But look through your eyes and see Christopher as you see him. All right? All right, the angels are touching our mouths. Increase in declaring the word and messages of his heart with greater boldness and conviction. There's a greater anointing on declaration for breakthrough. And these new words are causing breakthrough in possibilities. And where you couldn't break through before, these new words of boldness that God's given you as the angels are touching your mouth, they're going to take away the impossibilities and make everything possible. So, and then it'll open up new levels of the supernatural. Hands. There is an increase in expression of giftings, new levels of release in the giftings of God in lives, and greater conviction to pull down by faith what is ours in Christ against injustice and impossibilities. There is a new level of favor upon what we put our hands to as we are led by Him and we steward what has been before us. All right, so God said, I want to heal. If God's told you you have a healing anointing, what if you have enough faith to believe that, and it takes faith, you can't just do it. God told me one time, whatever you place your hands to do, I will do it. So, okay, so if I know grace is sick, I walk over and I say, in the name of Jesus, be healed. I place my hands to do that. I'm not the one that does it, but God has an angel here, stationed here, to heal that person. Too many people, when they do that, they want that healing to take place. Look what I just did. You know, that isn't going to work. You have to, that's why I used to touch people all the time. I don't touch them no more because people say, oh, well, you just shoved me down. And so I just stand there and I say, it's not me, it's the Holy Spirit. And plump, down you go. I want you to know that I don't want to take no glory for nothing. I'm just here as a vessel opening these doors. And then I expect the Holy Spirit to show up with me. And to show off, but it has nothing to do with me. Like, when was I sick? Last Sunday? And I really didn't want to come here at night. I was fighting pneumonia, and God said, I want you to get dressed, I want you to go, because I'm going to show up. I'm going to do some mighty things. So I got dressed, and I came. I was faithful, and sure enough, He showed up, and He did mighty things. You know? He didn't say, well, just lay back and relax. No, get yourself up, get yourself dressed, because I want to do something tonight. All right? He could do that to any one of you. You might say, oh, I don't feel like going tonight. But if you'd have been there, God could have used you to work through to do something supernatural. We don't care who He works through as long as He shows up and does something. At least that's how I feel. All right? There are huge breakthroughs and increases in healing, and those with healing anointings are moving into new levels of increase. Remember, God told me He's bringing healing back into the house of God. God, for 20 years, removed His spirit from the church with the signs, wonders, and miracles. He said, I'm removing my spirit because they're trampling all over my spirit. I won't have that. And then He told me recently, I'm bringing healing back into the house of God. And so I believe in that. I believe that God is bringing healing back. He's already brought it here. We just have to walk in a supernatural and just trust and believe Him to perform what only He could do. There is a greater increase in finances and abundance to give and release more. Isn't that wonderful? Don't we all need that abundance to have to give and do more, even work for God? All right, then the angels touch your feet to go further than you have ever been before. There are new paths, new realms, new doors, and new opportunities to take more ground. All right, so God's been prophesying that He's going to start moving people from state to state. He's going to move them, just tell them, pick up your, what did He say to Abraham? Wasn't Abraham? Pick up your tent and go. And his wife said, where are we going? He said, I don't know. God just told me to move. And God's going to be, and I got the Holy Spirit over me. God is doing that right now. He's telling people, I want you to pick up and go to another state. All right? And we don't fight God. What am I going to do? I got my house, got this, got that, the other. I don't have nothing there. Abraham obeyed God. And look what God did to Abraham. So all you have to do is just do what God's telling you to do. Make sure God's telling you to do it. All right, then, where am I at? To see His kingdom established through you further than ever before with signs and wonders following you. This new angelic fire is to see your feet move into the enemy's camp with greater victory and take back what he has stolen. It's to take the gospel further than you have before. There is greater ground being taken for the Lord. God told me I'm going to be sending you back out in the angelic field. Evangelical field. He says, you're going to evangelize once again. Now, all right, God, if I'm going to evangelize, then you got to do some healing here. I'm willing to go. I'm just waiting for God to tell me where to go. Are you listening? He's already started giving me some instructions of what I'm going to be doing. So I know this is going to be taking place. I'm just sitting waiting. I'm not making anything happen. But I'm waiting on God. And I'm ready to go anytime He says to go. All right, He's there. This angel's touching your ears to hear at a deeper level than you have ever heard before. This surface hearing is not going to do it. Distraction, static, and noise being removed, which releases a greater clarity to hear what the Lord is saying and what He is doing in the Spirit. God has been telling us, you who have ears, hear what I'm saying. So please, cleanse your ears. Get them ears so wide open for God. That's all you hear is His voice. When the angels touch you with this fire, there are new levels of accuracy. You won't be making so many mistakes in your walk with God. You know, I want to bring up something here. You know, you should never do anything unless God tells you to do it. Nothing. You know, somebody once said to me, well, when we got this building, the group of people I had then, a beautiful group of people, they said, you need to get out of the house and get into a building. Well, we found this building. And so we moved into it. And everything went wrong. And I said, God, I said, why is everything going wrong? I was sitting on the step. I said, I'm trying to get this together for you. He said, but I didn't tell you to move here. The people did. And He said, you won't ever have an abundance in this building, but I will keep you while you're in this building. And I'm waiting for Him to give us, He told me He has a new building for us. But we've never had an abundance, but He's always paid all the bills. And that's what He told me it was going to be. Why? Because I did what the people said. See, when you do what the people says, why do we have the mess in our government? Because the people didn't want to, they didn't want God. They wanted a king. That's exactly what they got. And we're in a group mixed with them too. So we have to pay for that mess too. But always make sure that God is telling you what to do. And somebody once said to me, well, if it's a good thing, why does God get upset? I said, but it's not a God thing. What you're doing is really good, but it's not a God thing. God didn't tell you to do it. And so they lost it. I'm merely warning you tonight, make sure it's a God thing. All right, greater encounters of His fire being released upon you, releasing you suddenly into this new season through Rosh Hashanah. And we know that great things are going to happen. What has held you back in the past season is being suddenly burned away. Have you been noticing how God's burning the things away that's been hindering you? He is coming as an all-consuming fire and bringing a deep level of refining and purifying to release you into the new. Everything that's going on in your life, God is refining you so that when your day is and when He brings you forth, there, you won't have any obstacles whatsoever. You'll be totally sold out to God. All right? These angelic hosts with their torches of fire are heralding and signaling your entrance into the new season to go deeper than you have ever been, further and wider than you have ever been before, and to soar to new heights. To heights and levels above and beyond what you have dreamed about. Some of you in here tonight, what God's going to do with you is going to totally blow your mind. God told us that. He says it's going to totally blow your mind because it's far beyond what you had ever thought you would ever do. But this is where God's at. He's getting ready to take you to places. I'm hearing Him say brand new places that you never even thought about. And in those brand new places, He's going to use you to bring His kingdom to earth. He said, you guys are fire starters. He started with you and put the fire in you, and now He's sending you forth into different places to take the fire to the other places, all right? An example, whenever somebody holds a revival, you know, and then everybody goes to this revival, and then what they're supposed to do when they go is to get the fire that's there at that revival and bring it back to their churches. All right, and so this is what God is going to be doing with every one of you sitting in here tonight. You are fire starters. First of all, He placed a fire in you, and now He's going to send you to different places. I'm hearing God say something, you are going to go to different countries, different nations, and you're going to start the fire that He placed within you. Are you ready for that, really? Are you truly in a place in Christ where He can use you to be a fire starter? Could be in your workplace. Doesn't have to be move out of town, you know, leave town. It could be in your workplace. It could be in your home. It could be anywhere. It could be on a street corner. It could be in a grocery store. You know, you have all that fire in you. And I mean, I used to go in the grocery store. I don't go shopping anymore, but I used to go in the grocery store and walk by somebody and they said, "What did you do to me?" That's a fire starter. You know, something inside of you that's in there, it just leaps out and goes on to somebody else. This is where the church is at today. Are you in line with God? Or are you are still on the backside of the desert trying to catch up? I'm hearing God say, nobody that's mine is on the backside of the desert. I pulled them all forward. And what God is doing by pulling you forward, now He's trying to resurrect. This is what He's trying to resurrect that dead part of you. He's trying to bring you 100% to life and not leave anything dead. And so I wrote down, are you ready for a touch of the deeper angelic fire tonight? Are you ready for God to consume you with His torch of love and freedom? I don't care who you are. I don't care what your status is. You can never get enough of God. There's always more anointing. You know, God said He goes from glory to glory to glory. So that means anointing to anointing to anointing to anointing. He never quits. And just about the time you think you've seen it all, he puts more glory on you and something greater happens. And if we are truly in the state where we're going to do the greater works that Jesus did, greater works than Jesus did, this is a time. And God said, you're like a bunch of stallions at the starting gate, waiting for the gate to be open. And he wants to touch you deeper tonight. So when He opens that gate, you get out there and you start running. You know, and you're the head of the pack, and you're saving the souls that are lost and dying and going to hell every day. The altar is open if you want that deeper touch. And if I was you and I was a pastor or I was an evangelist or whatever, I would get this touch tonight.